Holding on Haftes Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We said in the Mishnah, there was a general rule in the Beis Mikdash that if a person goes to the bathroom to defecate, the Mishnah had called it Mesech Esragwa because a person crouches down and squats down and covers their legs with their clothing for tznius. Then afterwards, before they go back in to do the avodah, they have to tovel. And we said a reason was in case there's any tzoya stuck to their skin. And if they went out to urinate, then they need kiddush yadayim raglayim. So the question is, why do they need to do kiddush yadayim? Why do they need to wash their hands and their feet? Bishleimer raglayim. I can understand why the person needs to wash his feet afterwards. Mishum nitzoytzis, because there's the possibility that drops of urine landed on his feet, and therefore he needs to wash them off. El yadayim my timer, but what does his hands have anything to do with it that he should have to wash them? Now you could answer, an obvious answer would be because he may have touched his Ava while he's going to the bathroom. But as we're going to talk about in a minute, you're really not allowed to do that anyway. So that being the case, how did his hands get dirty? Amar Rab Abba. So Rab Abba says, Zoyse Meres, we can learn from this, mitzvah l'shafshef, that it is a mitzvah, midrabanan, morning, Ellie. It's a mitzvah, midrabanan, l'shafshef, to wipe off these drops of urine that may have landed on his legs. The reason is, and the Gemara says, Messiah le Rab Ami. The Gemara explains why. This supports what Rab Ami said. The Amar Rab Ami, also the Adam Sheyetz bin Itzotis Shagabe Raglav, a person is not allowed to go out in the street with drops of urine that landed on his feet or on his legs. Remember, in those days, they didn't wear pants. They wore robes or long shirts or whatever, and the lower part of a person's feet and legs were generally exposed. So he's not allowed to go out like that, because then it appears to people like he's a krus shofcha, which is somebody whose genitals are damaged. Where therefore, and now somebody like that, somebody where the tip of the aver is cut off, or whatever, such a person is called in the Torah krus shofcha. The Torah tells us such a person is not allowed to marry a bas yisrael. But the point is, anyway, that like this, if he has drops of urine splattered on his legs, people are going to think that that happened because he's a krustrafcha, because he's injured in that area. Therefore, they're going to umoitzi laz albonav shein mamzerim. Then people are going to start spreading rumors about his children that they're mamzerim, because how did these children from his wife come to be if he himself is a krustrafcha? So for that reason, you have to wipe them off in order to avoid that kind of problem. So we see that's implied by our Mishnah, which is saying that when a person goes out to urinate, he has to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So why he has to wash his hands as well is because of that, because he has to wipe them off a little bit. Tosfos goes into a discussion over here. I mean that first of all, so the regular Tosfos on the side of the Amud goes into a discussion about the pros and cons of. Are you allowed to hold the aver? I mean, on the face of it, a better way of avoiding that there should be any nitzotzis falling on your legs in the first place is to hold it, and that way it's the stream is going well away from your body. On the other hand, the Gemara in Nida says that you're not supposed to do that. And Tosfos says, okay, that even if we say you are allowed to hold on to it, nevertheless, you still have a little bit may squirt over there. And Tosfos goes on to discuss that maybe after all the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Lemaisa in Shulchan Aruch it says that technically there are a married man is allowed to, because since he has pas basaloi, he has the ability to satisfy his urges if he needs to. Then there's less of an issue that it's going to bring him to hear her. However, even then, midas sidus is not to do that. Another possibility is he can hold the aver only near its tip. From the area where the urla was attached, from the corona downwards, towards away from his body, then that doesn't cause hearer. But still, most people are not really going to do that. And then it also mentions in Shulchan Aruch, you can also misayeya the beitzim milamata. You can hold up the beitzim over there and hold it up that way, because that's also not going to bring to hearer. Whatever the case, the point is that you do wind up then with all of that. And another possibility also is the ideal is to avoid nitzotzis by, for example, you urinate into loose dirt, or the Gemara gives an example, a nid over there standing on the roof and urinating off the side, or nowadays, okay, we do it into a toilet, accomplishes the same thing. Nevertheless, there's still a chance that there are nitzotzis left, and therefore that you have to wipe them off, and therefore the Mishnah is saying that the Kohen had to do Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim afterwards. Tosfos Yishonim then gets into another discussion about this. On the face of it, based on our Gemara over here, it comes out that if there were no nitzotzis to wipe afterwards, then maybe he doesn't have to wash his hands after going to urinate. And even if he did, Tosfos Yishonim says, okay, he has to wash his hands afterwards because of cleanliness, but not necessarily should he have to make a bracha on that. No different, for example, than if you touch a covered area of your body where you're supposed to wash your hands afterwards, but you don't say al natilas yadayim in that. In fact, Tosfos Yishonim goes on to say that Rabbeinu Meir, probably meaning Rabbeinu Meir, the son of the son-in-law of Rashi, was the father of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam and the Rashbam. Anyway, that he wouldn't even say Asher Yotzar after urinating. He held that Asher Yotzar is only after defecating. But then Tosfos Yishonim goes on to say that no, Asher Yotzar, you should. And even as far as the washing, when the Gemara is saying over here that you need to wash because of nitzotzis, means because most of the time there are. But even if it happens that a particular person didn't, then nevertheless, a person should still have to wash their hands. And as far as Asher Yotzar also, okay, so Tosfos Yishonim actually says that as far as Asher Yotzar, then you should say it, which is tackle what we do even when we go to urinate, we say Asher Yotzar. As far as washing, he says that you should wash. Definitely, if you're Meshafshif, if you wiped off the drops, then definitely you need to wash your hands because of cleanliness, if nothing else. But even so, as the Gemara is going to say soon, actually, but even so, you don't make a bracha on it. So that's the halacha as we have it nowadays, is when you go to the bathroom and afterwards you wash your hands, you don't make a bracha on that washing, but you do say Asher Yotzar, whether you went in to urinate or to defecate.
How would people know that you have urine on your...
Say what I'm saying? One second. You're very faint. I'm not sure why.
Yeah. How would people know that you have urine on your feet?
Because people would see drops. People would see drops on your feet, and they would.
How can they see drops on your feet?
People would see drops on your feet, and they would jump to conclusions that you're a krus shafa.
How can people see drops on your feet? Drops of urine on your feet.
Well, if you're wearing pants and socks and shoes, obviously they're not going to. But in those times when people went around with partially bare legs, and people often went barefoot. By the way, Avraham Moshe, I can barely hear you. I'm not sure if it's a problem with your phone or what. But I can. I don't know if you guys can hear me clearly, but I can barely hear you. Anyway, we're talking about in those days when people went barefoot and then the lower parts of their legs also bare, then you could easily see nitzotzis on there.
Okay. We hear you very good.
So since we're talking about, now, we mentioned in the Mishnah also that a person who goes to defecate afterwards has to tovel. And again, a reason for that is my Rav Ranschburg says, which is also what the Meiri says, that there might be tzoya stuck to his skin. So therefore, the Gemara digresses a little bit to talk about dinim involving that. Now, mainly, these dinim belong in Masechta Brachos. There's a whole sugya over there about when there's tzoya on your skin or on your clothes or under your shoe or whatever, when you're allowed and not allowed to say brachos and learn Torah or whatever. But here, the Gemara mentions something about it in connection with this that we're saying that if a person goes to the bathroom, he has to tovel afterwards before he goes into the Azara. So Amara Papa Tsoya Bimkoima also licorice Krishma. If there's tsoya in its place, meaning that a person didn't wipe thoroughly and there's tsoya left in the anus, then he's also to say Krishma, and that would mean not just Krishma, but any other words of Torah or Davening or whatever. So the Gemara asks, Hey Chidomi, what's the scenario? If you're talking about that it's far out enough in that area that it's actually visible, on his skin, pshita. Well, then obviously, if you're within four amos of tzaya, then you're not allowed to say shema or whatever because the smell reaches you. So here, the smell is going to be reaching you. So yeah, idla niris. And if you're talking about where it's so far in that it's not visible, what's the problem? Le'nitna total malachi asharis. The total wasn't given to malachim. Malachim don't have to go to the bathroom. Human beings have to go to the bathroom, and there's only so much you can do to clean yourself. So why should that prevent a person from saying Kurishma? The answer is loy tzricha. The answer is that the chiddush in what a papa is saying is the yoshev v'niris oimid ve'ena niris. Suppose that the tzoya is in such a place where when he's sitting down, when he's sitting down, then it would be visible. If somebody were to look from underneath, then they would see it. But when he stands up and then his buttocks are more tightly together, then if it ain't a nearest, then it's not visible. So that would be the kind of thing where the Papa is saying that's a problem as far as saying Krishma and davening and learning. So the Gemara asks, so Maishna Mitsoya al Bsaray. So why is it different than the case where a person has tsoya on his skin? So let's say there's tzoya on his skin and there's not much smell to it. Let's say the smell is already dissipating. The Itmar, where we have a discussion about that. Tzoya al basara, if there is tzoya on his skin, I'll show you yoda bebesa kise, or if his hands were inside a besa kise. So let's say there's a wall around the bathroom and he sticks his hands in through a hole in the wall or something. So his hands are inside the bathroom, but the rest of him is outside. So Rav Huna Amar Mutar Likras Krishma. Rav Huna says it's fine. He can still say Krishma under those circumstances. But Rav Chista Amar also Likras Krishma. And Rav Chista says he's also. Now, according to Rav Huna is because since the Pasuk says Kol HaNeshama to Halo Kol HaLuka, that means that only the word Neshama is related to the word Neshima, which means breathing. So therefore, it means only the organs of the body that have to do with breathing are the ones that have to be clean in order to say Krishma and Davin. So therefore, if there was tzoya on or near his mouth or his nose or whatever, there you would have a problem. But here, where it's on some other part of his body, then as long as the smell is not reaching him, then Rav Huna doesn't have a problem with it. Rav Chista is saying that no, it would be usur because Rav Chista says the pasuk says kolatz moise teimauna. All my bones should say Hashem mikamecha. So therefore, in other words, we want that the person's entire body should be clean. So Rashi explains that the question on Rav Papa is from both Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Rav Huna, for sure, seems to be contradicting what Rav Papa says. And even Rav Chista is only saying the problem is just because the problem is just because kolatz moise teimauna. In other words, the problem is not that there's even Rav Chista on the face of it would agree that like this, just because maybe a little bit of the smell of it reaches you is not necessarily a problem. I mean, the fact is it is pretty well hidden. It's not even visible when he's standing. So why would Rav Chista have a problem with it? Many of the other Rishonim learn that no, the question is specifically from Rav Huna, from Rav Chista. In fact, maybe we could reconcile if Rav Chista is saying kolatz moise teimauna. Well, that area of the body is the pia tabas, the anus, is also part of kolatz moise. So therefore, that would be a problem. The problem would be, according to Rav Huna, the problem is only if it's someplace near your mouth or your nose or whatever, as opposed to if it's in the back of your body. So why would Rav Huna have a problem with it? And in fact, many of the Rishonim say, for example, the Rif and others, this goes to show the halacha must be like Rav Huna, because the Gemara is using that as a question on the Papa. The Gemara could have easily answered, after all, look, Rav Papa is an Amora, Rav Huna is an Amora, Rav Papa is allowed to argue with Rav Huna. The fact that it doesn't, the fact that it asks on him from Rav Huna, seems to imply that the halacha is like Rav Huna. And they say also, the fact is, Rav Huna is Rav Chista's Rebbe, and in those generations, in the first few generations of Amoraim, the rule is generally that the halacha is like the Rebbe against the Talmud. Later on, from Abaya and Rava, that changes, and it's the other way around, halach kabasroi. Anyway, so they paskin like Rav Huna, that only if there's tzoya on one of those areas of his body is there a problem, but not if there's tzoya on his hand. For example, his hand is in the besakise, or another girsay is also if his hand is dirty from the besakise, meaning that he used it to wipe himself and it's not fully clean, whatever. As long as the smell is not reaching him, then Rav Huna wouldn't have a problem with it, and a number of the Rishonim paskin that way. On the other hand, there are some of the Rishonim who paskin like Rav Chista. And in Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions. So it's better to be careful about it, that if any part of a person's hand is dirty or in a besa kisse, if any part of a person's body is dirty or in a besa kisse or whatever, then he shouldn't be davening or learning until he cleans it up. Anyway, So the question again is that how is your papa saying that there's a problem if there's tzoya left with mekoma in its place by the anus? If certainly according to Rav Huna, that shouldn't be a problem. And according to Rashi, the question is, even according to Rav Chista, it shouldn't really be a problem. The answer is b'mekoma nafish zuama. The answer is when the tzoya is in its original place, when you didn't wipe properly, then the smell of it is very strong, because since it didn't go out, since it's kind of trapped in there, so therefore the smell of it doesn't have a chance to dissipate. So the smell and the dirtiness of it is very intense. So therefore, a papa is saying that creates a problem. Shaloi b'makayma, yeah, if you have tzoya smeared on some other area of your body, loy nafish zuama, then the smell of it is not as intense, because since it's on the outside, then the smell of it starts dissipating. So the ma'isa, that's the halacha as brought in Shulchan Aruch. So in short, if there's tzoya b'makayma in its place by the anus, and a person, and it's in such a way where it would be visible when the person is sitting, then he's also to say Krishna until he cleans it up. If it's elsewhere on the body, then if it's elsewhere on the body and it's smelly, then also he has to clean it off before he can say Dvarim Shibakdosha. If it's not, then you have the Machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Chista, which ultimately is Machlokas Aposkim, whether you're allowed to. And if it's near the mouth or the nose, then everybody would agree that you have to get rid of it because of kol anashama tahalaka alaloka. One thing I did see something the stipler says on this. He says, I mean, on the other hand, it doesn't mean when you're going to the bathroom and you're wiping that you have to go crazy about it. He says, I mean, look, even in the times of the Gemara, we find that on Shabbos, for example, when we say that normally carrying stones is muktzah, the Chachamim gave you a heter to use stones to wipe yourself, but only three of them. So how much are you going to be able to remove with three stones? Apparently enough that it would be that you'd then be able to say Dvarim Shibakdusha. So you wipe some with toilet paper. Maybe afterwards you wash the area a little bit, or you use a wet wipe or something, and then that's good enough. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Tanan Rabbanan Halacha Besuda. Here's a halacha regarding the dinim of eating a meal. Adam yotze lahashdin mayim. If a person goes out in the middle of the meal to urinate, then when he comes back, noto yodei achas v'nichnas. He has to wash only one hand, meaning the hand that he wiped off the netzotzes, like we were saying before, and then he can go back in and continue the meal. Dibirim chaveri v'hiflig. On the other hand, if while he was out there he was talking with somebody and took a significant amount of time, noto shtei yodei v'nichnas. Then he has to wash both hands before he comes back, because now he had a hesach hadas, and therefore the concept is yadayim askani, you're saying a person's hands are always moving around and touching things without him even realizing it. So he may have touched some area of his body that normally is covered and now is sweaty and dirty, and therefore he has to wash both hands before he comes back in. And continues the Braisa, when he's washing, lo yitum abachutz v'ikonis, he shouldn't wash outside the dining room and then come back in, because people are going to suspect that he didn't wash his hands. Ela nichnas v'yoshib b'mekoymo, what he should do is, he should come in, sit in his places, he should come sit down in this place, and he should wash both his hands, which there's different girsois over here, and there is a different girsa that a number of Rishonim have that still, as we said, he only has to wash both hands, only if he took a long time. If he only went out to urinate, then he just has to wash the one hand. And he circulates the washing cup around among the urchim, meaning Rashi says, the point is that the waiter goes around to anybody to ask, is there anybody else here who needs to wash? And this way, it makes it very obvious to everybody that he washed. This person who just came back in, like this, people are going to think, look at this disgusting guy. He's going to continue eating or drinking without washing his hands. So therefore, we want to bring to everybody's attention that he did wash his hands. So therefore, we have the waiter go around and offer the washing cup to everybody else. There are different girsois over here, and there is a different girsa that a number of the Rishonim have, that umachzu ala orchin, which means that he should be facing the guests when he washes. However, Amar Rav Chista, lo yamoran ela lishtois. However, Rav Chista says all this that we're talking about, that he shouldn't wash outside, that he davka needs to wash in the dining room in order to avoid chashad, is only ela lishtois, only if they're only going to be drinking. Meaning, Rashi describes that they often had. They would have a meal, they'd have a banquet. After they'd finished eating, they'd be sitting around for a while and drinking. So that's when we're talking about. If the person in between went out to go to the bathroom, then we're saying, so now when he comes back, people are going to suspect that he didn't wash his hands. Now, if it's just drinking, in principle, he shouldn't need to. Because so what? He's holding a cup. Doesn't matter if his hands are dirty. It's not coming near his mouth anyway. But Rashi says, after all, he might still eat something. He might still forget and eat something. And therefore, we want to stress that he washed his hands, and we want everybody to be aware of it. Avalechol. But if they're actually in the middle of the meal and he's coming in to eat, then he's allowed to wash his hands outside the dining room and then come in. Because it's obvious that he's going to be fastidious about it. Nobody is going to eat with dirty hands. Remember, in those times, they didn't have forks and spoons. You ate by picking up a piece of food and putting it with your fingers into your mouth. So everybody knows that if your hands are dirty, you're not going to be eating like that. You're going to wash your hands first. So therefore, there's no reason to make a big public spectacle of washing in front of everybody and having the waiter go and circulate the washing cup around to everybody, because it'll be fairly obvious that you did that. So nobody's going to be chosh at him. So Rashi explains that this last part is talking about, actually Rashi doesn't say one way or the other, whether we're talking about the washing the one hand when he urinated, or the two after, or the two when he stayed out for a while. So Tosfos Yeshanim brings that this is all talking about the case where a person has to wash one hand. So if it's the case where he only has to wash one hand, then we're saying that if it's only one hand and he has to drink, and they're only going to be drinking, then he has to wash it inside the dining room. But otherwise, there's no chashad. Nobody's going to suspect if it's a case where he has to wash both his hands, either where he has to wash both his hands, or even where it's only one hand, but they're going to be eating, then nobody's going to be chosh at him, so then he can wash outside the dining room. Amen of Nachum Yitzchok. So Nachum Yitzchok explains, "Va'ana, as far as me, I feel a lishtais nami. Even if I'm only going to drink, maybe yadi da'anina da'itoi. People know that I'm fastidious, and therefore nobody's going to suspect, even if I'm only sitting after the meal to drink, that I didn't wash my hands. And the same thing is true of anybody else, where people know that he's fastidious about such things, then he doesn't have to wash in the dining room and make a big public spectacle of it. He could just wash outside. So nowadays, that's true of pretty much everybody. So yeah, if you go to the bathroom in the middle of the meal, and then you just go into the kitchen afterwards and wash your heads. So then you just go into the kitchen and wash your hands afterwards, and you sit back down. So yeah, Tosfos Yeshanim does mention that. Rashi doesn't say it explicitly, but it's mashma from Rashi that we're talking about that when he has to wash both his hands, that we're saying there's a distinction between drinking and eating. If it's just a matter of that he has to wash his hands because he's going to continue drinking, that in and of itself wouldn't be a valid reason to make him wash. But Tosfos Yeshanim says not like that, and therefore that's how it is. When a person urinated and he used afterwards his hand to wipe off the drops, then he does have to wash that hand. If he stayed out for a while, then it would seem that he has to wash both hands. Again, as we said before, Al Natilus Yudayim, you don't say on that. Asha Yotzau, you do say. Okay. The Mishnah says, Einanim nichnas la'azora la'avoida. A person is not allowed to go into the azora to do the avoida, afilu toher, even if he's already toher, ad sheyitboil, until he toivels. So we said in the previous Mishnah that they would have the Kohen Gadol toivel the first thing on Yom Kippur morning, and we said that anybody who goes to the bathroom has to toivel afterwards. But here we're saying, even if for whatever reason he didn't go to the bathroom, and even if he's already toher, nevertheless he still has to toivel that first tefillah for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Rashi says when we say la avoida, doesn't dafka mean that he's going in to do the avoida. Bechlal, if a person is going into the azora for any reason, then he has to toivel first. On the other hand, Tosfos says that it doesn't have it can't it's it wouldn't just be that he's going in stam, but for example that he was going in that Tosfos also agrees with that and says that even if he's going in just a shecht, which is not an avoider, or even if he's going in for any reason at all, Tosfos Yeshanim, on the other hand, disagrees with that and says, listen, I mean, in that case, then why does it say the word la avoider? In that case, it could have just said Eidonim Nichnas la Azara Afilu Tahor. And in fact, Rabbeinu Chananel seems to have that girsa. Or no, he doesn't. He says la avoider. But so Tosfos Yeshanim says that no, what it means is if a person is going in stam into the Azara without a particular purpose, then fine, he doesn't have to toivel first. But if he's going in for anything, not he himself is doing the Avoida, but something related to the Avoida, we're going to give the example later, for example, of the Metzora has to stick his ear and his thumb and his toe into the Azara so that they can put the blood and the oil of his korban on it, then he would have to toivel first. But if a person is just going into the Azara for no particular purpose, and he's already tohar, then maybe the Mishnah is saying he wouldn't have to toivel for that. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Chomish tvilas v'asora kiddushin toivel kohen gadol l'makadosh bo yom. On that day of Yom Kippur, the kohen gadol would toivel 5 times, and 10 times he would do kiddush adayim v'raglayim. He'd wash his hands and feet from the kiyor, or from a golden basin, as we're going to say later. V'chulan b'kodesh al beis ha'parva. All of them, meaning 4 out of the 5 of them, were in the Kodesh, in the area of the Azara, on the roof of the Beis HaParva. So the Beis HaParva, we talked about it briefly on Daf Yud Tes. We had a discussion about the blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash. We said that there were three chambers on the north side of the Azara and 3 on the south. And we said Lishkas HaParva, they would salt there the skins of the Kodeshim, and on the roof of it was the Kohen Gadol's Mikveh. And we discussed over there that the Lishkas HaParva is on the south side of the Azara, and where that relates to the Kohen Gadol's chamber, etc. Anyway, the point is that so there was a mikveh on the roof of the Beis HaParva. That's where the Kohen Gadol would tovel 4 out of the 5 tvilos of that day, because it's inside the Azara. There is actually a discussion that Rishonim have on this. We learned in Psachim that Gagin v'Alias lo niskadshu, roofs and upper stories in the Beis HaMikdash don't have the Kedusha of the Azara. So how does the roof of the Beis HaParva over here have the Kedusha of the Azara? So one answer is because the Beis HaParva was built only later. So therefore, so you have the space where it was built was already Kodesh from beforehand. So therefore that space, that airspace remains Kodesh even after they built the chamber over there. Different answer is that there are other answers. Maybe the chamber, Tosfos, I think later on discusses that maybe the chamber was built underground and the roof of it was level with the Azara, and in that case, the din is that the roof of it is Kodesh. Maybe there was an entrance from that roof into the Azara, and then makes it considered Kodesh. Anyway, so 4 out of the 5 of the tvilas of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would take place over there. Chutz mizu bilvad, but this one that he did the first thing in the morning, that didn't have to be in the Kodesh. So therefore, that would be, we learned earlier that would be above the Shar Hamayim, one of the gates in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara, on the south side was called Shar Hamayim, the water gate, and above it there was a mikveh for the Kohen, and above it there was a mikveh, so the Kohen Gadol toivled in that first one, because the first one is not special to Yom Kippur. The first one was saying every day a person comes into the Azara, then after going to the bathroom, then they need to toivel, and we're going to discuss in the Gemara another reason why a person needs to toivel even if they didn't go to the bathroom. So that one he could do in Chol. The other ones, which are special for Yom Kippur, those ones, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Achrimos says that he has to toivel b'mokim kodesh. So all those other ones have to be b'mokim kodesh, meaning in the Azara. But this one could be in the Chol. So the Mishnah continues. Persu sodin shall boots beinu leveinam. They spread out a linen cloth between him and the people for privacy, so you can tovel behind it. And why linen? We're going to eventually learn in the Gemara. The Mishnah says the words we have in front of us is kiddush yod v'raglav, that he would do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, but most kisveyad don't have that, because the fact is he doesn't do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim at this point. Only after he tovels, before or after he puts on the bigdei kohen, we're going to learn in connection with the next Mishnah machlokas about that, only then would he do the first of the 10 kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. But before he's toveling, he doesn't need to, so therefore that doesn't really belong in the Mishnah over here. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Shalaras ben Zoyma. They ask ben Zoyma, Tvila zu lama. Why does this tefillah that we're saying that even if a person is tahor, he has to tovel before he goes into the azara, whether to do the avoda or not to do the avoda, or at least to do something related to the avoda or whatever. Why? What's the purpose of that tefillah? Omer lahem, so he tells them it's a kal vachomer. Madach, a person who changes from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, is switching from Kodesh to Kodesh. He has five different sets of avoda that he does throughout the day of Yom Kippur. So sometimes he's doing it in the Kodesh Kedoshim. Sometimes he's doing it in the Kodesh and in the Azara. All those places are Kodesh. And both those places are places where a person is chayev kores for going in there when he's tameh, and yet tone tvila, yet he requires tvila. So then hamashanim chol lekodesh. So if he's switching from chol from a less holy area to kodesh, he's going into the azara. And he's coming from the Harabayas, where if a Tomei person goes into the Harabayas, or even the Ezra's Noshim, and he's Tomei, and he's Tomei, he's not Chayiv Koris for it, only if he goes into the Azorah when he's Tomei, and a Dinsha, Tone Tvila, how much more so that he should require Tvila? So according to Rashi, is basically the same thing. Kodesh l'kodesh means both places that are holy, and makom she'onush kodesh. The makom she'onush kodesh means two places where if a person goes in there when he's tamei, then he's chayiv kodesh. Tosfos Hashanim says, I mean, then that seems to be a little repetitious. So therefore, he explains that Kodesh l'Kodesh means that you're switching between Big Day Kodesh and Big Day Kodesh. The Kohen Gadol is switching between Big Day Zahav, he's taking off Big Day Zahav, putting on Big Day Lavan, taking off Big Day Lavan, putting on Big Day Zahav. So that's the Kodesh l'Kodesh. And then we're talking about not only the Begadim, but also the places. Where also the places are the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh and the Azara, respectively, which are all places that are Onush Kodesh. So if a person walks into Shech, then he has to tovel for restraint. So Ben Zomer is saying we learn it as a kal vachomer from what the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur. Actually, Tosfos says that we can kind of even strengthen the kal vachomer. The Kohen Gadol is changing from Kodesh to Kodesh. He already tovelled previously. In a Mokum Kodesh, because every day during the seven days, he's toveling. He's the Kohen Gadol, and he has greater Kedusha, and he's Zoriz, and so on and so forth. And nevertheless, we're still saying that he needs Tevila. So how much more so somebody who's coming from Chol to Kodesh? Okay, Tosfos says, so in that case, why is his first Tevila not in Kodesh? Fine, the reason is because since he hasn't yet put on Big Day Kodesh that day, then it makes more sense that he should be toveling in the Chol area. So therefore, he tovels above Shaar HaMayim rather than above the Beis HaParva, which is in the Azara. But anyway, the point is, so Ben Zomer is saying it's a kal vachomer. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with this kal vachomer, and he says, no, srach tevila hizu. No, this tevila is not min haTorah, like Ben Zomer is saying it's a kal vachomer. A kal vachomer has the force of something, it makes it a din d'oraisa. But Rabbi Yehuda says no. It's only a gzeira d'rabbanan. Srach literally means like grabbing onto. So it's like a grabbing onto, like a semblance of tevila. It's not really necessary as a tevila. It's just to remember the concept of tevila. Kadesh yisko trumu yeshana shabiyadevi yefesh. This way, he should remember in case when he's toveling, he should remember: is there by any chance an older tumah that he had, and therefore no, to stay away because he needs head of shemesh. So let's say, you know, now he's toveling, then that jogs his memory, and he remembers, you know what, the other day I touched a dead sheretz and I never went to the mikveh. So now it'll remind him, in that case, then I know I have to stay out of the Azara until I have a head of Shemesh. So that's the purpose. So the Gemara says, B'maikom mithagi. So what's the underlying machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and Ben Zoma, or what's the nafkamina between them? So the nafkamina is ba'achole avodakom mithagi. What if the person did not tovel that tevila in the morning and he went and did the avoda? Ben Zoma machel avoda, according to Ben Zoma, who says that it's d'oraisa, then the avoda would be the avoda that he did, would be machol, would be posel. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, not, because the whole thing is only d'rabbanan, so that can't passel his avoda b'di'evad. So the question is, Ben Zoma mi machel? So according to Ben Zoma, you're telling me that if a person doesn't do that first tevila on every day, whether every day or Yom Kippur, you're telling me his avoda is mechulal. V'hatanya, we learn in a braise. Kohen gadol shloi tovel, If the Kohen Gadol did not tovel and did not do kiddush adam raglaim between the changes of clothes or between the avodas. So again, remember, we're going to have in the next couple of blot that the Kohen Gadol he first puts on big day zahav and he brings the korban tamid and does the other avodas of the morning, bringing the morning ketores and preparing the lamps of the menorah and so on and so forth. He also brings some of the musafim at that point. Then he changes out of the big day zahav, and we're saying each time he changes clothes, he tovels, and he does two kiddush adayim raglayim, one before the tevila and one after. We're going to have later on daf lamed aleph lamed beis, we're going to have a machlokas whether the kiddush adayim raglayim takes place before or after he undresses. But whatever it is, the point is that so each time there's a kiddush adayim raglayim, a tevila, another kiddush adayim raglayim, and there's a change of clothes. He changes into big day lavan, and he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Kaf and Machta and so forth. And then throughout the day, he keeps on changing clothes and doing different avodas. So suppose that he didn't tovel or do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim between one of those changes and the other. Bein avoda la avoda is a little hard to understand because between different avodas in the same clothes, he doesn't need to tovel or do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So one possibility, one of the Mefoshim says, is maybe bein avoda la avoda would mean, let's say, for example, that we're saying again, he takes off one set of clothes, he does Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, he tovels, or he does Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, takes off the clothes, whatever, Machlok Jameir and the Chachamim, as we're going to have soon. Let's say he didn't do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim between those things. Let's say he didn't do the one, let's say, for example, between getting dressed and between toveling, between after he got dressed or before he got dressed, whatever. Yeah. So Avedosik Shera. So the Braisa says, the Braisa says his avoda is kosher. On the other hand, echad kohen gadol the echad kohen hedit shaloi kiddush yodav raglav shachris v'avad. On the other hand, of kohen gadol or kohen hedit who did not do kiddush adayim raglayim in the morning, but avad avoda, and he does the avoda avidas psula. So his avoda is possible. So in other words, Ben Zomer is learning that you have to tovel first thing in the morning as a kavah chomer from the kohen has to tovel several times on Yom Kippur when he's going between kodesh and kodesh and between a place that's onush kodesh and not. But we see from this Braisa, and Ben Zoma is not disagreeing with it, that if he doesn't, that Bechlal, the Kohen Gadol himself, if he doesn't tovel between one change of clothes and the other, then B'dieved the Avodah is kosher. So Daya Levobin Adin Li is Kenodin. If Anyam Kippur were saying, if Anyam Kippur, which we're learning from, were saying that not toveling between the changes of clothes does not B'dieved make it possible, then Alachas Kamavak, you certainly can't say, if you're learning from it to the rest of the year, that you should say the rest of the year, if you don't tovel that one tevila, then the avoda is going to be possible. So how can we say that? Ben Zoma would say that it is possible. Only if he doesn't do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, then fine. We learn from a Kavachomer, and not from a Kavachomer, from a Gzeira Shava, that is Machal Avoda. No, there's no, because the Braisa over here said that whether a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hediot who didn't do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, then his avodah is possible. But again, Ben Zoma is learning a Kavah Chomer from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. If we're saying even the Kohen Gadol himself on Yom Kippur, if he doesn't do these extra four tevilas, but the avodah is kosher, then you can't learn from that to the rest of the year that if you don't do the tevila, the avodah is going to be possible. So you can't say that's the nafka minute between Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda. So the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim primarily was done from the Kiyur. Later on, the Kiyur was in the Azara. The Kiyur was in the Azara between the Mizbeach and the Heichel, a little bit moved off to the south. However, the Gemara is going. However, we're going to have a Mishnah later on. I think in the fourth Perek, we're going to say that on Yom Kippur, instead, the Kohen Gadol would do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim from a golden jug to honor him on that day. Instead of doing from the regular Kiyur, he would do from that. No, because as long as it's a kli sharis, you can do kiddush adayim raglayim from any kli sharis. So yeah, mikveh is only two different places. But kiddush adayim raglayim, but pashtos. So no, that's the thing. In other words, so if he's doing kiddush adayim raglayim between, so again, he's doing kiddush adayim raglayim and then getting undressed and going to tovel and then getting dressed and doing the other kiddush adayim raglayim, or we're going to have it. Meir says the other way around. He gets undressed, then does kiddush adayim raglayim. So yeah, he can't do that with the kiyo because he can't walk around there. So yeah, they're going to bring him the golden jug and he's going to, yeah. Okay. Fine. So So we can't say that that's the machlokas ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda. Elo lemekam be'esekam mitzvi. So rather, we can say the machlokas between ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda is if a person did the avoda without doing that tefillah, is he over on a mitzvah eser? Leben Zoma koi be'eser. According to ben Zoma, he's over on an eser because the pasuk tells us that the Kohen Gadol has to tovel. That's a tovel on Yom Kippur several times. So, and we're learning a Kavah Chomer from that to other times. So fine, we're saying it doesn't pass all the avoda if he doesn't do it. But nevertheless, he's over on an Esther for failing to do it. Little Behuda, like Koi Be'Esther, whereas according to the Behuda, there's no Esther involved because according to him, the whole thing is Dirabbanan. Okay, so the question is, Mi Isle Little Behuda Hai Svara? Does Little Behuda even hold that a person who goes into the Azara necessarily has to tovel? Vahatanya, we learn in a braisa, Mitzorah Tovel Va'omid B'Shaun Nikonor. A Mitzorah Tovel, so now a Mitzorah goes through a whole multi-step process to become Tahor. The first stage of it is the part with the birds and the eight Eretz and whatever that's described at the beginning of Parashas Mitzorah. After that, he shaves. He has to wait 7 days. Then he shaves again, and then on the eighth day, he brings his korbanos. On the eighth. So, of course, the first thing is he has to be seen by the Kohen to make sure the Tzaras has gone away. We're talking about once that happens, then they do the whole thing with the Eitz Eres and Ezev and so forth. Then he shaves, he waits 7 days, shaves again, and on the eighth day he brings his Korbanos. And that up again, as usual, he goes through the usual stages that a Tomei person does. First he's completely Tomei, then it's a lesser degree of Tumah, then he's a Tevul Yoim, then he's only a Mechosu Kippurim, and once he brings his Korbanos, then that takes care of that, and now he can enter the Azara and eat Kodshim. So now, so on that eighth day, Mitzorah Tovel V'Omen B'Shaun Nikonor, the Mitzorah Tovels, and he stands at Shaun Nikonor, and that way, we learned before, that he'll when it comes time to put the blood and the oil on his ear, thumb, and toe, he'll stick his ear in, and the Kohen will apply it. He'll stick his thumb in, and his right thumb, and the Kohen will apply it. He'll stick his right big toe in, and the Kohen will apply it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and it's Tzorach Tevila. Rabbi Yehuda says, on the other hand, he doesn't need to tovel, Shekvar tovel m'erev, because he already toveled the day before. So you see, you see that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you don't need that just because you're going into the Azorah, you don't necessarily need to tovel. So that's the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, how could the Tani Taima? No, it says right there in the Braisa, Shekvar tovel m'erev, he already toveled the day before, and we assume he's still Tahar. So therefore, but in other words, Rabbi Yehuda might agree that if he hadn't toveled the day before, then maybe he would need to. So I asked, in that case, that's such an obvious svara, ud ka'ori la, my ka'ori la. Whoever brought in this question, whoever was dealing with, Rashi explains ka'ori, means dealing with this Mishnah to bring an upshlug from it. Why did he even bother? Didn't he realize the Braisa itself is telling us exactly that Rabbi Huda says, because he toveled the day before and had a head of Shemesh, then we assume that he's still Tahar. Obviously there's a distinction between that or whether he toveled the day before. Why do you even bother bringing in the question in the first place? This expression, ka'ori lo mai ka'ori lo yav, in various places in Shas, the Aruch actually has a different explanation of it. He says the word ka'ori can be related to a word meaning to connect. So like this, whoever brought in this question to connect that Mishnah, that Braisa, to what we're just saying, why is he even thinking to bring it in, to connect it? It's obvious that it's making a distinction, between whether he toveled the day before or not. The answer is the reason why he did it. Mishum de kabayla mirma achriti ale. The reason is because he wanted to point out, on the face of it, there seems to be a contradiction between that braisa where Rabbi Yehuda is saying because he toveled the day before, now he doesn't need to tovel, versus another braisa where Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying the opposite. A braisa says, now the Mishnah in Midas describes that you had on the four corners of the Ezras Nashim, there were four chambers. We talked about them briefly before. One of them was where they stored the wood for the Beis Mikdash. Another one was where they kept wine and oil for the Nesachim. Another one was for the Nazirim, and another one was and one of them was for the Mitzrayim, Lishkas Mitzrayim, Shasham Mitzrayim, Tovelim. The Mitzrayim would tovel over there before they stand in Shaun Nikonor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Mitzrayim Bilvad Omru Ela Kol Adam. Rabbi Yehuda says not only the Mitzrayim have to tovel before they go over there, but anybody who goes into the Azara. So now he's saying not only the Mitzrayim. That means therefore that he agrees that the Mitzrayim have to tovel. So what are you? You're telling me in the first braisa that Rabbi Yehuda is saying he toveled the day before, therefore he doesn't have to tovel now. Now, obviously, the toveling the day before, he's not doing, in the Beis Mikdash. There's no reason to. He's not coming to bring his korbanos until the next day. So obviously the tevila that he does on the seventh day is going to be someplace else in Yerushalayim. So, and that's good. According to the first braisa, that's good already. He doesn't need the tevila again on the eighth day. Yet in this braisa that we just quoted, Rabbi Yehuda is saying not only the metzoroim tevil in that chamber in the Ezra's Noshim, but so does everybody else who goes into the Azara. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda says the Metzora does need the Tovel before he brings his Korbanos. So that was why we brought in the first Braisa, not because we were thinking that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, not because we were thinking Rabbi Yehuda, that based on that Braisa alone, that Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't require you to Tovel before you come into the Azara. Obviously, there's a difference. You Tovel the day before, but because how do we reconcile these two Braises, which both say opinions of Rabbi Yehuda? So the answer is, like Kasha, the difference is, did he tovel the day before at the end of the 7th days, or did he not? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Idle tovel head of shemesh boy. Part of the procedure of the mitzvah becoming tahor, he needs to tovel on the 7th day, and he needs head of shemesh, and only the next day, the 8th day, can he move this korbanos. So if he didn't tovel on the 7th day, then he needs to tovel on the 8th day, and if he tovels on the 8th day, then he needs head of shemesh, and he can't move this korbanos till the 9th day. So of course he has to have toveled on the 7th day. You have Takonis Ezra that if a person is a Baal Keri, then he needs to go to the mikveh. Based on that, we have the concept of going to the mikveh every day. That's a whole other matter. That usually we don't assume that a person is a Baal Keri. But Ella Aidi va Aidi to Tovel. So no, we can say both of them are talking about he Tovel on the 7th day, like he was supposed to. But we can say Hoda Asach Daite, Hoda La Asach Daite. We can say there's a difference whether he was Masiach Das or not. Did he still keep in mind that I need to remain Tahor and make sure to stay away from any source of Tumah or not? So the question is, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda would be saying, if he toveled on the 7th day and he wasn't Masiach Das, then when it comes to the 8th day, Rabbi Yehuda would say he does not need to tovel again because he already toveled the previous day. He's been careful to keep himself away from Tumah, therefore no problem. But if he was Masiach Das, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to require him to tovel again on the 8th day, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda says he would go to the Lishka Samitzurim. So the question is, the question is, if he was Masiach Das, then just toveling is not good enough. He would actually need to be sprinkled with Parah Aduma water on the 3rd and 7th day, because conceivably he might have become Tamei Mes without realizing it. If a person had Hesach Das, then he needs to be sprinkled on the 3rd and 7th day. In fact, Tosfos says even that if a person is Tomei with other kinds of Tumas, we don't require that, because as long as they weren't Masiach Das, they know I'm Tomei from Asheretz, but they're careful to stay away from Tumas Mes, then there's no problem. But here, if he Bechlal is distracted and he's not paying attention to anything of Tumah V'Tara, he might have gone into an Oyla Mes without even realizing it. So therefore, he needs that. So just Toveling wouldn't be good enough. No, we can say that both Braises, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in both Braises, is where he wasn't Masiach Das. It depends what he had in mind when he toveled. Now, Midaraisa, it doesn't matter. A person tovels with any kavana, even with no kavana at all, a person falls into a lake or something, then they're tahor. But Midrabanon, we have when it comes to things of kodshim and when it comes to things of going into the Beis Mikdash, you have to have in mind when you're toveling what purpose you're toveling for. You can have a person, for example, who's toveling having in mind that it's going to be in order to eat truma. You can have a person who's toveling having in mind a higher level, that he's going to be eating kodshim, that he's going to be dealing with the parah aduma, etc. So here, if he had in mind that he's going to be going into the Beis Mikdash, then Rabbi Yehuda is not going to require him to tovel again the next day, because again, the whole purpose according to Rabbi Yehuda is Dirabanon, so that he should remember in case he was previously Tomei. So once he toveled, having in mind that he's going into the Beis Mikdash, then we don't need to worry about that. As opposed to if he toveled Stam, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to require him to tovel on the eighth day. The Iboya Sema, or another possibility, you could reconcile Rabbi Yehuda's opinion by correcting the Braisa. Toni loy mitzorayin amru ella kol adam. The original version of the Braisa we had was that the chamber is not just for the mitzorayim, but for everybody. The new version that we're saying is Rabbi Yehuda was saying it's not for the mitzorayim, it is for everybody else. According to him, the mitzorah would not need to tovel in there because he already toveled the day before, whereas a regular person who didn't necessarily tovel the day before would indeed need to tovel in this chamber before he enters the Azara. The Siach Yitzchak talks about them. And so why is that better? I mean, all the other answers allowed us to keep the wording of the Braisa the way it is. Why is this one better? Why is this version, changing the version, changing the words of the Braisa better? And he says basically because that explains why Rabbi Yehuda is saying at such length. If he just meant that it's meant for Mitzrayim and for other people, then he wouldn't have had to say Loi Mitzrayim Bilvad Omru Ela Kol Adam, such a long expression. He would have said Af Kol Adam or something like that. So therefore, that leads the Gemara to say that maybe in fact he's saying not like you Chachamim say Mitzrayim, but rather only Kol Adam. And another answer, Ravina. So far we have a few answers how to reconcile Rabbi Yehuda. One is, so we went through a couple of possibilities and discarded them, but we said one was that whether he has in mind that he's going to be entering the Beis Hamikdash or not. Another one is we correct the wording of the Braisa. So in both of them, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that a Metzora does not need to toivel on the eighth day. Ravina Omer, Ravina gives a third answer. Rabbi Yehuda l'divreim d'rabbanan kamru. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, not according to his own opinion, he's arguing according to your logic. Chachamim, what are you saying? He's saying like this, Lidi D, as far as I'm concerned, Metzora ain't Tzarech Tevila. As far as I'm concerned, the Metzora doesn't need Tevila at all because he toveled the day before. And as far as I'm concerned, that's good enough. Lidi D'chu, but according to you, Oduli Izi Mihas, then you, Izi, should at least agree to me. The word Izi has two possible meanings. You have it in a number of places in the Gemara. The Rashbam, actually, in one place in Chumash, explains that it's like the word Eifoy in Hebrew and like the word, sort of like the word so or then in English. It's like a filler in a sentence, like to fill out the sentence and then a tikkun loshen, it's called. But it's not something that the sentence could read just as well without it. Oduli easy mihas would be then you should be moida to me. Another possibility, some of the Mephoshim say, I think Tosfos brings it someplace, is the word easy means my friend. So he's saying, my friends, at least you should agree to me. Deloy Mitzrayim Belvad Omru, that we're not just talking about Mitzrayim should have to tovel, Ela Kol Adam. Everybody else should have to tovel before they go into the Azara Eder. So that's the, so the vote is, in the Braisa, it's not that he's saying, myself, I would hold the Mitzrayim don't need to, and everybody else should. But you, fine, you don't accept the fact that the Mitzrayim tovel the day before as being good enough, but so you're making them tovel again. No, shouldn't everybody else have to tovel also? They didn't even necessarily tovel the day before. Virabbanan, so what would the Rabbanan answer to that? They would say, Metzora dayish betumah, because the difference is a metzora is habituated. He's used to being tamei. He's been tamei this whole time. He's been tamei of tzara, so he hasn't had to be careful of being around any kind of tumah. So he's gotten used to being around tumah. Therefore, we need an extra thing that he should tovel before he goes into the azara, because there's a higher chance that he was tamei without realizing it. Most people are not that accustomed to tumah, so therefore the average person we can assume is tahor before he goes into the azara. So therefore he doesn't need to tovel. So fine, he can tovel in one of the mikvahs outside of the azara. We don't need a chamber in the Beis Hamikdash for him to tovel before he enters the actual azara. So we said the Kohenim have to go to the mikveh before this. So we said that's what we're saying. That's what we're discussing over here. To do the avoda, so that's what we're discussing now, is why do they need to tovel? If they were already tahor, why do they need to tovel? So again, if they went to the bathroom, then anyway, they need to tovel. We said because there might be tzoya on their skin. But if not, then according to Ben Zoyma, we're saying it's daraisa that they need to tovel. And if not, then we said lamaskana the oivana mitzvah saseh. And according to the Yehuda, it's only exeda derabanan. But so Amalei Abayla Rabbi Yosef, Neimer Rabbanan de Pligi Alei de Rabbi Yehuda Kiben Zoyma Svira Lahu, does that necessarily mean in the original Braisa that we quoted, when we said that the Metzora tovels and stands in Shaar Nikonar, does that mean that, and they were just saying tovels generically without specifying, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying he doesn't need tevila because he already toveled the day before, do we necessarily have to say that those Rabbanon disagree, that those Rabbanon follow the opinion of Ben Zoyma that says that the tevila is daraisa, and therefore it doesn't matter whether he toveled the day before or not? Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, now, that wouldn't necessarily be the same chachamim as our Mishnah, who said in our Mishnah that einonim nichnas lazora la'avoda ad sheyitbol. Because you have the Mishnah in Midas mentions that you have lishkas hametzoroyim over there where they would tovel. So they would be agreeing with Ben Zoyma that this tevila is daraisa. And then that if not, then he's over. Then he's over on an essay. Tosfos actually learns differently. Tosfos says we don't necessarily mean that we don't necessarily mean that it has to be that they're agreeing with Ben Zoma. They could conceivably agree with Rabbi Yehuda as well. Rabbi Yehuda, after all, does say they need to tovel. The question is that after all, I mean, the original question was asked to Ben Zoma. The question is it in fact the case that the Chachamim require unconditionally that a person tovels before he the mitzvah tovels before he goes to have it to stand in Shaar Nikanor, or would they say that maybe not? Rabbi Yehuda is saying that he doesn't need to if he toveled the day before. Do we have to necessarily say that the Chachamim are going to say unconditionally you always have to tovel? And the answer is, and you could argue behind the katoni mitzora loydia hakoychei the Rabbi Yehuda, and then the reason why the Braisa would mention that dafka mitzora has to tovel before he stands there is to tell you how far Rabbi Yehuda goes in being makel, that even a mitzora who, as we said, is used to truma, Rabbi Yehuda would say as long as he tovel the day before, it's good enough. Or maybe is it even the Chachamim would say that only a Mitzora has to Tovel because Daish Betumah, but they would say everybody else does not necessarily have to. Daish means he used to. Yeah. So what is it? Is it that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are disagreeing about everybody, a Mitzora or a regular person? And the Braisa is mentioning that Rabbi Yehuda would be makel even by a Mitzora. And says that he doesn't need to tovel as long as he tovelled the day before. Meanwhile, the Chachamim would be saying that no, you always have to tovel, like Ben Zoma says, or even like the reason Rabbi Yehuda gave because of Srach Tvila, because the Rabbanon. Or is it that they're only arguing about a Mitzora, but they would agree by everybody else that he doesn't necessarily have to. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers, Shiny Mitzoda, the Daish Betumah. It is indeed special about a Mitzoda because he's used to Tumah. So the Chachamim in that Braisa would say that not necessarily does everybody else have to tovel before they go into the Azara, because most people are not used to being around Tumah V'Tahara. So we can assume that they're Tahar unless we know otherwise. But a Mitzoda, because he's used to being around Tumah, therefore we make him actually tovel before he enters the Azara. And again, because at least he's entering for something having to do with the Avodah. He himself is not doing the Avodah, but the Avodah is being done to him. The blood and the oil are being applied to his ear and thumb and toe. So that's that. And then we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, analyzing Rabbi Yehuda's opinion on this. But the bottom line is, in other words, the Mishnah in Midas that says that it was Lishkas HaMetzeroyim, where it says the Metzeroyim would tovel there, that we're saying would not be according to Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Metzeroyim don't necessarily need to tovel there, and not necessarily according to the Chachamim either, because the Chachamim are, because now we're saying, well, it could be according to the Chachamim, now we're saying, because the Chachamim would be saying the Metzora needs that extra tefillah, because Daish Betuma is used to Tumah, everybody else does not. As opposed to in the Braisa, where Rabbi Yehuda had said that not only the Mitzoroyim, but everybody else has to tovel there as well, the Chachamim would, what Rabbi Yosef is telling us, the Chachamim would disagree with that.